sound of pain. When we lack a pair of thieves with tumbled locks and broken codes, you cannot take that from me. My small reprieves are heart of
What's up, everybody? My name's Dean Muzina. I'm back this week with the Slew Life Weekly Update, as usual. I've got some special guests with me that I'll get to here in a second, but as we all know, I run the weekly show on Slew Life and the Slew community. We're composed of a plethora of homes, including the Interfaith House, the Cow House, Peace and Justice, Sage, MFL. What am I missing, guys?
Treehouse.
And
House of Spiritual Athletes.
House of Spiritual Athletes. And we also have two themed homes. Those are the House of Black Culture and the Honors House. So what we basically do as a community is we put together house projects, and our house projects are exemplary of the missions that we support. And one of the missions we're going to be talking about tonight is my home, the Interfaith House, with two of my distinguished housemates, one being my moderator, Chase Smith, and my new roommate, Dominic. Dominic, can you pronounce your last name correctly for me? Because I don't want to botch it first.
Yeah, I can. It's Mejia.
Mejia. Okay. I had a feeling it was along that line. I just wanted to be sure. But tonight we're going to have a little interfaith discussion. But before we get to that, we'll get to some typical campus news, and you guys feel free to chime in on anything that might pique your interest. This weekend we had the football team get their first loss, which I'm just going to kind of get over quickly. They lost 42-3. And the men's soccer team won 3 out of the 5 games they played in the, what tournament was it? The Fred Meyers Invitational. They won 3 of 5 of those, and last Tuesday they won 7-1 against Earlham. Some other big news that I'm sure people have just heard about with the transcript is that Craig Olam is going to be stepping down this year as the Vice President of Student Affairs, which is a very big impact on what we do and how we're moving about the transformation of our homes. Craig Olam says that he's planning to stay on campus and keep a presence, but a little less hands-on, working in strategic initiatives and projects that impact student persistence and success, from the transcript. So with him stepping down, Dean Goldsberry is taking his position. We have Kurt C. Holmes, who's stepping in from the College of Worcester, as the new Dean of Students. He'll be here like 3 to 5 days, but he has been quoted in saying that he does want to get to know us and meet a lot of us. Other than that, I think the one big thing that was actually tipped to me by our general manager, Connor Golden, and I don't know if you guys have heard about this. I'm going to pull it up on my Facebook Messenger. We have some big developing news in the development of our homes, and there was a city meeting that pertain to this. I'm going to read the post that was shared to me by Connor, and this was posted by, who was it? Sorry, guys. Michaela Black from House of Thought. She graduated my freshman year. So this is what she posted. Attention OU SLU advocates. At the most recent Delaware City Council meeting on August 24th, they discussed OU's 5-phase plan to demolish the Roland Avenue SLUs and build new student housing. By discussed, quotes, I mean the council heard one-sided arguments from the school administration in support of tearing the buildings down. The minutes for this meeting are not available yet and won't be available for months, so I don't know exactly how the discussion went. All I know is that there probably wasn't anyone there in support of preserving Sage and MFL. You can change that. City council meetings are open to the public, and visitors can often request to speak, although your time may be limited. Consider providing an impassioned perspective that the council members are not getting. I'm not sure when the next meeting will be, or even if recognizing the issue will be discussed. You can find these out at links that she has posted. Also, there are specific documents that were provided for that meeting on August 24th, I'm willing to share those with anyone that's interested. But currently, from what I understand, we have moved into the city planning aspect of this, and Delaware is now kind of putting their hand in the cookie jar, as some may say. What do you guys think about this before we get into our very deep discussion?
Well, I certainly support any OU students who are willing to go to a Delaware City meeting and voice their concerns in local politics. But frankly, given the average daily schedule of an OU student, I'm not sure attending a city meeting is going to be one of the top priorities.
You might be onto something there. I think that's probably a huge factor. I know that if there was a city meeting at 6 p.m. on Monday, I'm going to be in the studio. Dominic, any thoughts?
No, I want to echo what Chase said, but I'm not sure if I know enough about the topic. I need to do a little bit more research before I'm able to comment intelligently.
That's yeah, respect that. I think, you know, the one thing that needs to happen, which hasn't, and the last, you know, sort of town hall style meeting that we had over the development was last May-ish, and there were maybe like three people there from the community because we're all busy, and they planned it during the lunch hour, naturally. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to have like a meeting that is at an hour where most people can show up, whether that be like I don't care if it's 8 o'clock, mm-hmm. I really don't. Mm-hmm. I'll be there for that.
I certainly think that the Ohio Wesleyan students and the SLU members would have some interesting things to say, and I'm sure that the current SLU members and SLU alums have many strong opinions about the fate of these small living units.
Yeah. So that's some of the big developing news on campus, but we're going to kind of work our way into discussion here. Before we go to break and start the questions, why don't we kind of debrief everyone on Interfaith House and what we currently stand for? Does anyone here want to start us off? Chase, maybe?
I will start us off. I'll go ahead and assume this role since I'm the moderator, and this is probably one of the things that I'm professionally supposed to do. Besides that, I just enjoy doing it because what's more fascinating than interfaith work, right, and interfaith dialogue?
Absolutely.
But no, Dean, what the Interfaith House is all about, essentially, is guiding students on their own journey. And the way that journey may be guided by their faith or non-faith beliefs. You know, we're talking here about a belief system that may fall in accordance with a Christianity worldview, may fall in accordance with a Judaistic worldview. Or you may have a non-faith worldview, and you're just trying to make sense of the world because that's what religions are there to do, is help make sense of the world. So what the Interfaith House is all about, really, is helping guide students on their own faith or non-faith journey.
That was beautiful. I don't think I could have said that as well. We do support the acceptance, not only acceptance, but also tolerance of, you know, multiple faiths, non-faiths, whatever they may be. I think, you know, if I'm going to sum it up, the main reason that I'm a part of this house is because of my background and the way that it's fluctuated here and there. And to have a group of people that can be so supportive around you, whether you denounce or renounce or whatever word I'm trying to think of that I can't right now involving any sort of higher power or God. Dominic, since you're our newest member, drew you into the home?
For those listeners who don't know me, I am currently in the process of being ordained as United Methodist pastor. I'm in the very beginning stages of this.
Snaps to that.
And I recognize that in my role as a pastor that I'm going to be working with people who are not only not Christian, but, you know, specifically not Methodist, and seen as the trajectory that my life has taken, I've begun to speak with narrower and narrower groups of people.
Yeah.
And recognizing that the world is not Methodist. I was drawn to Interfaith by the dialogue between people from different worldviews of non-faith and faith backgrounds, yeah. and believe that my time at Interfaith already in the first 2 weeks has been very significant in establishing these dialogues with folks who come from a different perspective than I do.
Yes, 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 1,000 times. It couldn't be said better by 3 members of the same home. Might be, you know, we're going to get into a discussion here in a few minutes. We're going to take a short break, but I just want to let everyone know before we get into the discussion that in no way, shape, or form does anything that we say reflect the, you know, feelings that the line has or the stance that they take. This is all an opinion of myself, Chase, and Dom. And some of it is opinionated. Other parts of tonight's discussion won't be. But I just want to clear that air before we get into the thick of it. But we're going to take a short break here. I'm going to play another song. We've been listening tonight from the True Detective soundtrack from season 2, specifically Lyra Lynn, who is phenomenal. She did a lot of the live music in the show, which was really good. This is My Least Favorite Life. We'll be right back with the Slew Life Weekly Update. Alrighty, and we're back. So, we've taken this short little break to sort of collect ourselves. And what we're going to do now is what we like to do at home. We like to do it during house meeting. We like to do it when we're sitting on the porch. We like to do this at any given hour that the interest might pique one of our minds. This is what we like to call interfaith dialogue through some thought-provoking questions, at least I can hope, that have been thought-provoking. And we're going to start this off shortly here. Not that piece of paper that I just shook, though. So our first question tonight is to all three of us. How has living in an interfaith home impacted your personal lives?
Well, first off, for me, there's something very humanizing about living in a house that you don't get to experience in a dorm, but that's a very superficial way that living in IF has impacted my life. More than just the pleasantry of living in a house, there's the relationships that I've already developed with the 11 wonderful people who I'm getting to share the home with. I'm a particularly introverted person, and I enjoy the ability to walk into the living room and have conversation, most of the time very meaningful conversation, with any of the other 10 people living in the house. So personally, it's just been an opportunity to have these kind of deep conversations that normally I would have to actively seek out, and them just occurring organically and naturally.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, the Interfaith House is where my family lives. The Interfaith House is where my main support system on this campus lives. It's a place where I wake up in the morning and I've got friends sitting on the couch that I can share a cup of coffee with. And I come home from a day of classes and I can talk to people about my classes. And as far as my faith journey goes, it's a place where I like to ask a lot of questions about, hey, what do you think about this part of the Bible? Or maybe I had this experience at church. What do you think about that? Because I think there's a lot to be learned from my personal faith journey, from reading the Bible and from attending church, but also from talking to other people, believers and non-believers, because it's all about developing that way of understanding the world through building that connection with other people and through tapping into that support system.
I think the way that the biggest impact that the Interfaith House has had on me is when I moved in last fall and I went through some difficulty internally within myself. And it was a big adjustment period to get accustomed to living in the house, especially when you're so confined to like Smith East and it's just like four brick walls. You move into this house and you have a living room and you have a kitchen and more than one bathroom. Though, yes, they're old bathrooms. They're tiny bathrooms, but there's something more cozy about it. And it makes you feel some sort of like warmth. It's like how I like to put it to people is you walk into our house or any other SLU on campus and the first thing you feel is just like comfortable. Like you want to sit down and like put your book bag down, take your coat off and relax. And you know, with the challenges that I faced personally, I was able to have, you know, what was it? How many did we have last year? 12 total all year? It was 11 first half, 12 the second. Yeah. So with those, you know, other 10, 11 people around to kind of help you out, it's a really good environment to surround yourself in, especially if you've been struggling with anything. And if anyone is struggling with anything, they're more than welcome to come to our house and, you know, sit down and get comfortable. Because I don't know about you guys, but there's something about having a couch. And this goes back to freshman year. My mom left. I remember when my mom left, and everybody remembers when their mom leaves, and she's just a mess.
I'm still getting over it.
Yeah. I mean, that's something you never really forget. And I remember her saying that the biggest thing she was worrying about was that I didn't have a couch to sit on to watch TV. And I was like, you know, at the time I was just like, you know, it's not a big deal. I'm not going to be watching very much TV. And when you think about it and you kind of let it settle and you're like, you go, the first time I noticed it, I went home for fall break and I sat down on the couch and I was like, oh shit, that's what she meant. There's something about being able to sit in a living room with people mm-hmm. and talk about what you want to talk about and watch whatever, even though our TV's haunted at home and turns on by itself during house meeting. There's something about that atmosphere that
there's absolutely something about it.
Really brings me in. And you and I talked about last week how we kind of have those bittersweet moments where you stop and look around on campus. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those moments are when I'm standing outside of the house and looking at the house like, that old house right there mm-hmm. with the hole in the corner where the squirrels burrow in and make a home in the winter. That's the house I love. That's the house I come to. And it's just, it's bizarre. It's something that will be truly unforgettable about this place.
I could have predicted when I came to college that I would live in a residence hall, and that was fairly unremarkable. I don't think I would have predicted that I would live in the Interfaith House.
Right, yeah, I don't think anyone... Yeah. I don't think anyone thinks about that, you know, like... When I came here before I, enrolled and everything, I was walking around, and I saw the houses, and I was like, what the hell is that? That's weird. And then you get here, and then you just realize that, everyone you're around is weird, and it doesn't even matter anymore. You're just like, those people are the people I want to be around. And that was late in my time by getting in, after sophomore year. But I'm still more than happy about it, and I've put plenty of time in to get that experience. And there's something about that that is priceless that has come with our education, and something that not a lot of schools are ever going to have.
I think the SLUs are one thing that really sets Ohio Wesleyan apart.
Absolutely.
It's a special place. And a side note about the couches. We do have 5 couches currently.
Yeah. If anyone needs a place to crash, there's so much couch space, we don't even know what to do with it.
And we are in the process of acquiring a 6th that should seat 2 to 3 more people. So if you are looking for a place to sit and engage in interfaith dialogue,
Interfaith is the place.
Here's my plug for a new couch. It's got your name on it. It's got your name on it, whoever you are out there.
Oh, yes.
Chase and I were talking on our walk over here, and we were discussing how it only takes 1 or 2 visits to start to feel at home and if.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Probably because of the couches, but, it might be because of the people.
The couches.
It's the couches. It's the kitchen. It's the whole main floor. The rooms are great. Love my room. Our room's great. But the communal spaces have a different value than they would in a dorm hall, because nobody uses communal spaces in dorm halls. They just kind of take them over, or they try to fornicate in them. And I don't know if anyone can vouch on that, but there was my freshman year, 2 individuals in one of the study rooms on the second floor of Welch that were getting intimate.
I think communal spaces and residence halls are the primary place for shenanigans to occur. And I think that the communal spaces in residence halls are the type of places on Sunday morning where you find several full pizzas face down on a couch. And you wonder, how did I find a full pizza face down on a couch? And what was a student doing on Saturday night that encouraged them to drop this pizza on this couch? And most importantly, who is going to clean this up?
And you know what? They leave that, unfortunately, to Aramark, who does a great job. They're great people. But they definitely get the runaround from a lot of students here, and that's kind of disappointing. We do our own chores. We're our own Aramark. Aramark supplies us with the tools.
And we thank Aramark
we
for
do,
supplying us with the
cause
tools.
Because if we didn't have the tools, if us would be a very dirty place.
But as it is reasonably clean. If you want to live in a reasonably clean home...
Scale of 1 to 10 cleanliness, I'd give us a solid 7.5 right
now. You know,
now.
I think we are.
I agree.
Okay. I'm glad we're all on the same page. Because, once, December 12th rolls around, we're all going to be like, oh, my God, there's so much crap around here.
December 12th, I'll do my best to make sure no pizzas end up on the couch.
That's what I was just going to say.
But there's probably going to be a few empty Coca-Cola cans.
That's part of the deal, though.
Yeah, that's no college life.
So anyways, moving on. Our house has a mission statement, which unfortunately we don't have in front of us right now. Does anyone have an idea of it Roughly so, Chase, maybe?
Well, yeah, it's similar to the answer I gave to the first question, you know, what's interfaith all about? And so we're really about helping students on their spiritual journey, either with their faith or non-faith views, but we're also about promoting knowledge and tolerance and encouraging discussion about world religions in general.
Mm-hmm. So our mission statement has been given to you, but do you, either one of you have a personal mission statement of your own? This is one I was pretty happy about. I was pretty proud of this one. I was like, okay.
Yeah, this is a good question. For me, my mission statement is, of course, based out of the Wesleyan concept of repentance.
Okay.
In that we are called to do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. And for me, that tends to cover most things when it comes to living life and acting morally. And one step farther than that is that it's more important to be kind than to be right. And so I guess those two short phrases sum up my personal mission statement.
Beautiful.
This speech isn't quite as eloquent, but I
mine will be even less.
Okay,
so.
That's great. Well, yeah. We can let Dom be the eloquent one on
right.
this one.
Yeah. Yeah,
thank you.
I highlighted 4 points for a personal mission statement when I saw this question. I live intentionally. I never go a day without laughing. I do my best to afford people their dignity and practice empathy.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. Straight, cold cut, in your face. This is what it is. I'm Chase Smith. Take it or leave it.
That's the only way to live. It's the only way.
Well, I didn't really prepare anything for my own personal mission statement. As I'm sure you both know, I'm not a man that likes to sort of do that. I'm a little more dramatic, as you and I, as the three of us all know. I'm a little bit dramatic. So I do like to live life with enthusiasm. There's something about being... Go ahead, Chase, what were you going to say?
With zeal.
Right.
And zest.
But I think I like to, you know, the one thing that's changed for sure is the fact that I've sort of let go of the reins of life, because I know that I'm not going to have like control over anything. I don't know if the clouds are going to fall when I walk out of here in an hour. Well, not an hour now.
Well, they probably are. You should watch your back.
Yeah, and then you do that to me, and then I'm going to be paranoid for the rest of the night. But I think that, you know, that's my biggest thing, is that I have sort of let things go. Because I used to be very high-strung and very, I have to do this or I won't get that. And that's kind of just disappeared. I'm just, like, over it. Like, this is my life. I'm 21. And I'm just going to let it kind of do its thing, and I'm going to keep doing the whole, you know, like, library, like, 7 to midnight and, you know, extracurricular activities on the weekends. We'll leave it at that. But, yeah, I'm all about the positivity. As strange as it sounds, coming from someone that we all know here as a straight-up pessimist, I don't look at things very brightly all the time, but I try to be as positive as I can be without getting personally irritated.
But may I add, Dean, you are the most articulate, cynical person I've ever met. I truly appreciate your cynicism and your pessimism.
That was the word I was looking for, was cynicism, because Maddie's texting me right now and she's laughing at the fact that I said positivity. But I think that, you know, as much as it is like a stretch to say that, or for it to even come out of my mouth, is a lot. But cynicism is a crucial detail in the recipe of what is Dean Muzina.
I do have to say that every rant you go on inspires me to be a better person. Like, you are not just articulate, but very eloquent.
I try.
There's a fire there.
What I'm going to remember the most from Dean Muzina is his rants.
Oh, yeah.
The rants are just a thing of beauty, let me tell you.
Oh, if anyone wants to come over after a rough day and I storm in the house, You're more than welcome to. You just got to kind of be there at the right time, though.
You could probably hear it from outside the front door, though.
In most cases, yeah. Or I'm out on the porch and everyone's already hearing me. But, yeah, that should give you an idea, I think.
He'll just be out there combing his hair, yelling at the world.
Everything, just yelling at it all. So, as members of this beautiful community, including the Interfaith and the SLU community, what do you two hope to leave behind as alums one day?
You know, I really hope people tell good stories of me.
Yeah, mine's somewhat similar. I hope the relationships that I developed are meaningful enough that has some kind of residual impact on folks.
Yeah, I think everyone wants to be remembered in a way, especially SLU members, because like there are certain members of houses that you'll never forget. You know, like I can rattle off like three names, like Jordan Ahmed. He was the mod for PNJ. Mm-hmm. In 2012, when his senior year. Melody Beeman Black, Cowhouse, graduated 2013. Ben Danielson, Cowhouse, Grace Thompson. I mean, the list goes on.
The list goes on. I think of two from the Interfaith House that really impacted me a lot in my freshman year here and really motivated me to live in the house. Haley Figelstahl Barber, and Mimi Abrams, and they're both working in the community service arena, and I really admire the work that they're doing. And I would hope that just as I kind of remember them and associate them with the Interfaith movement, with the Interfaith House, with what it means to be interfaith, to practice empathy, you know, to practice love, to practice service, all these things that I associate with the house, I would hope that other people, when they tell stories about me, when they remember me, they say, I can see why he lived in that house.
Right.
What he's doing now, the changes that he's making in the world, the way that he lives his life, I can see why he lived in that house.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to keep you guys updated right now, we do have Anna Jones listening in.
Oh, hi, Anna.
What's up? Anita Jones. Shout out to Anita. I'm really sorry that I didn't get out to the bar this weekend. It's a long story that we'll have to talk about.
There was a rant about that.
There was, and just extracurricular activities started too early that day.
And the rant was articulate, but to be fair, it wasn't Dean's most articulate because he seemed genuinely saddened by the fact that he did not make it to the bar. Just want to let you know that, Anna. He was genuinely sad.
It was almost a lament.
It was. You know what? That is a great word, Dominic. It was a lament.
to just harp on Anna Jones, I do want to make sure that Maddie gets her 2 cents in. She's texting me. She said she wants me to say hello to Anna over the air. But Anna is now commenting. She's quoting you guys. He'll just be out there combing his hair. Or cynicism is at the root of Dean Muzzino. It doesn't get much better than that.
If Dean Muzzino were a tree with branches stretching all across the grand campus of Ohio Wesleyan University, those roots would be made of cynicism.
Oh, yes.
And hair pomade.
Yes, precisely that. Exactly. I think the one other thing that I want to leave behind is something tangible. I want to leave something tangible behind, and I don't know if that means, you know, the house is, I don't even want to think about the house being torn down, but I want to leave something in that house that someone's going to find and be like, what the hell is this? And they're going to be like, who the hell's Gene? And then, like, someone that will have barely known me by that time will be like, oh, he was this, like, really obnoxious but cynic, like, I don't know, he was just kind of a dick, but he really likes like his inner circle of, you know, friends, but he also has great respect for the SLU community. And I don't know what that tangible thing will be.
I think you should buy the house a pet.
No.
And name it after yourself.
That's
just picture.
Just like leave it there.
Just picture an adorable kitten named Dean Muzzino, and everybody will remember you based on the smiling face.
Okay, the only gripe I have with that, and I don't know if this would be considered, Olivia could chime in on this, but we have to put hair pomade in the cat. We have to slick the cat's hair back. You guys think I'm kidding?
Oh no, it's the truth. We have to put hair pomade in the cat because. Yeah. Let me tell you what, it would really stand out. I've seen many kittens in my life. Cats are adorable.
Yeah.
They're kind of annoying, but cats are cats. But a cat with hair pomade is a thing of its own.
As someone who's attempted to bathe cats in the past,
you have?
I'm not quite sure how hair pomade
is. Is that a Methodist thing, Dominic?
Yeah, it's in the Book of Discipline.
To bathe cats?
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Well, that's part of what sets the Methodists, you know, apart from the Lutherans or the Episcopalians. They've all got different animals that they choose to baptize. And for the Methodists, you know, it just happens to be kittens.
Right.
So I just want to put out a plug right here. If you have adopted a cat recently and you would like it to be baptized.
Dominic's your guy.
Yeah, Dominic's your guy.
I don't know anything that says otherwise, so it must be true.
Must be.
I can't imagine. So you've actually bathed a cat before, though?
Yeah.
And how did that go?
Not well.
I can't imagine.
I mean, it was painful. It was a painful experience.
Right.
Both for the cat and for I.
Right.
For me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dominic, is that why your face is so furry? Because you were traumatized by your experience with the cat?
This beard is purely for protection.
Anna Jones just came up with a suggestion for something tangible. She said to frame a comb.
That's a great idea.
That's like totally doable.
I think we could frame a comb.
That's totally doable, and yeah. I'll write something small under it, or maybe I'll include like a haiku. We should get like a Chase Smith haiku. Did you enjoy that this morning? The haiku.
I didn't see
the haiku. Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
Well, you know, last night I was having a difficult time sleeping, and so somewhere in the arena of 5 in the morning, I decided that I was going to write every one of my housemates a haiku, because let me tell you, I really enjoy the challenge of composing haikus. You got your 5 syllables on the top line, you got your 7 syllables on the second line, and then you go back to 5 syllables on the bottom line, and what cannot be said in 17 syllables? What cannot be said, people?
I don't know. That's the thing. I've tried to keep up with Chase's haiku game, but I just can't. There's something about the limit that I have that frustrates me. I don't remember what mine said word for word, but they're all great. And the classic haiku tradition began with Warm Fuzzies, which we did during house meeting last year, and I'm sure we'll do this year. Everybody writes little, like, anonymous sort of notes. We throw them around. Everybody reads them. And Chase and Grace had a back and forth of haikus that were exceptionally memorable.
You know what? Dean Axel just wrote you a haiku right now. Okay?
I'm listening.
This is not a comb. My hair does this on its own. That's why I look sweet.
Yes, 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 1,000 times. Oh my. All right, we're gonna take a short break here before we get back to the last question that I think will be a bit of a doozy that we've been contemplating all year. I'm gonna play you off for a minute here with another Lara Lynn song, A Church in Ruins from the True Detective soundtrack. We'll be right back with the Slew Life Weekly Update.
Thank you.
his hands were on you and it felt just the same as when he didn't know your name. He said, I love you, baby, like a miner loves gold, and this will never grow old. Darkness will cover church in ruins. There's nothing left to feel. Goodbye, lover, this is your doing. A heart against the wheel.
All right, everybody, we're back. And we're going to get to our biggest question here, but I just want to let everybody know that's listening, and I know that it's a small audience, that this has definitely been a top show, top rank, top quality. You're not going to find it any better when you've got the three of us, from what I can tell right now.
Hall of Fame.
It is. It's Hall of Fame material. So the final question that we're going to get to tonight is the ultimate question. And this is a question that we were posed with at our first house meeting this year. And it stands above the threshold of the living room door to the door outside. And that is, what does it mean to be interfaith?
For me, to be interfaith means it being able to have conversation and being able to engage with and give the proper amount of respect to individuals and systems of belief that are different than your own, while still maintaining the integrity of your own faith. So being interfaith is being able to have a deep, meaningful, and thick conversation with someone who may disagree with me on a fundamental level. And being able to see the value in what they have to say and in the way that affects their lives without sacrificing my own beliefs or playing my own beliefs down in order to make them feel comfortable.
Beautiful.
Yeah, as well said. I really like the way Dominic words that one, and I think that being interfaith is about honoring others' beliefs without diluting your own. It's learning to balance opposing viewpoints, or seemingly opposing viewpoints. And this is really a technique that can be abstracted. So we're talking about religious discussion, but we're also just talking about your day-to-day life, when you interact with others and you realize that they have a right to their belief system in the same way that you have a right to yours.
I like it. I dig it. So I'm going to put this in like the most literal sense possible. And this is not an interaction I've had yet, which is kind of disappointing, but I've always got it like planned out in my head because I'm neurotic and I like to, you know, have a plan for something at least, if it means, you know, I still can't seem to get into a routine.
You're
weekly.
A schemer.
I'm a schemer, but I'm not a con man.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So I like to put it this way. If someone were to come up to me and ask me, what does the Interfaith House do? And frankly, for a while, you know, a lot of people don't really have an answer to that. Mm-hmm. But what I like to tell people, and I like to ask them a question back, is, you know, what faith tradition do you practice? Mm-hmm. And they reply, and I like to imagine that, you know, I would say, you know, welcome to this community and welcome to the fact that, you know, you have a place on this campus where you can feel comfortable around any belief system and not only be able to get what you want off your chest or out of it, you'll also gain something from it. And I think that's the biggest thing that I've gained in being a resident of the home, is that I had a basic understanding of different faiths before I got into the house. And my belief system has changed a couple times, and that happens through life. But the amount that I've learned and gained from other people that have lived there before I moved in, when I moved in, the people I currently live with, the things that I learn are the things that I value the most from being a member of the house. So to me, for being, to be interfaith is to just kind of open your arms. Welcome it. Don't fight it, because that doesn't get you anywhere. And learn from it. I've always been taught to learn from something.
I like what you said there. Welcome it with open arms. That means if you're a cat looking to be baptized, welcome it with open arms, little one.
You feline, come here. Come to my arms so that I can dunk you in this big tub.
Let us wash you. And then style your hair appropriately.
Oh, man, that'd be so cool. I can't get over that.
I think we're onto something with the comb and
look
the cat.
Up. I'm
going to
see.
You're going to Google images of cats that have been pomade.
Yeah.
You know, I think actually there's some more wordplay there, because pomade is typically spelled P-O-M-A-D-E, but if we're talking cats with their paws, I think that cat could be P-A-W-M-A-D-E. Let me tell you about a paw-made cat.
And the English major comes out.
I saw that coming a mile away, and it still hurt.
Oh, okay. Let's see if I can Google image search this real quick. What should I search?
Cats with hair gel, maybe?
Hair gel. We'll just try that. Ew.
Oh, no.
Okay, there's pictures of dogs with... I don't want no dogs!
I feel like this would be much easier to style the hair of a dog than a cat.
Yeah, definitely, because a cat eats its own hair and then spits it back up savage.
But I'm still hungry for a cat.
Wait, what?
With its hair.
Where are you going with
this? Okay, well, I was going to say that a cat with its hair made up is the opposite of ordinary.
Okay.
But I thought that I would try to incorporate the new slogan.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't quite work the same way.
I got a little concerned for a second. I thought you wanted to eat a cat.
I have never ate a cat. Chase Smith nor the Interfaith House endorse eating cats. Just want to go on record and say that.
I do have hair styling gel for dogs. Okay. So that exists. But I'm still... I'm going to look at this later and see if there's something I can find that will do that. Edible hair gel for cats on kittyradio.com.
Is that where you're going to change the name of your radio show here to?
I should.
Right now I'm hearing the air horn noise in my mind, but with the sound of cats.
Oh my goodness, that's terrifying.
Meow, 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 meow.
Oh my. Oh my goodness. Oh my. I'm looking at a very strange message board that pertained to cats and styling their hair. And there were very cat lady-esque pictures.
You know, it's
of
possible
profiles.
That if you were to tag this radio program appropriately on Reddit, we would blow up like 400,000 hits just because of the strong niche of people who like to style their cat's hair. And just because of this little 5-minute non sequitur that we have
40,000.
We're going viral.
I think we might go viral just because of the cats.
Just this one episode, because next week they're going to tune in and be like, what the hell is this, and just turn it off. Like, this is crap.
Like, next week they're going to be like, this episode is not pomade.
No. This episode is pomade.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all it'll be. But that's the end of my questions, gentlemen. The next task we're left with here is the fact that, you know, and this is early on, but I think we should maybe keep this a regular thing. Do it like every other week or so, or Dominic, whenever you, I know your time is going to get a little more strained, but I've enjoyed this.
I've enjoyed this greatly.
Yeah, this has been a good time.
Yeah, and I think we'll just cut it here, 6:46. I've got a little bit of cutting and things to do to our audio file here, but we'll play out a little more True Detective. Chase, Dom, thank you so much for being on the show this week. It has been an absolute treat.
Thank you for having me, Dean.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Good, good. Well, everybody, that is week 2 of the Slew Life Weekly Update. I will be back next Monday, and I don't know what the plan is yet because I have a whole week to plan it. So you'll know as soon as I know. But for now, enjoy the rest of your week. Try to enjoy this non-labor Labor Day, or Labor Day that we have all gone through already today. And we'll see you next week. All righty, everybody. Of luck.